Around 9 months before the events of the first Christmas, in the year 1 BC, although of course they didn't know that yet, the angel Gabriel visited Mary. And Matthew tells us the story like this. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God." Do not be afraid. You might say that those words are a bit of a Christmas motif because just 6 months earlier, the angel of the Lord visited Mary's brother-in-law, Zechariah, to let him know that his wife, Elizabeth, was going to have a boy. And the angel's first words were, "Do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard." And when Joseph had a couple of questions about how Mary came to be pregnant without his involvement, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife." And of course, there was that group of shepherds on Christmas night, confronted with the glory of the Lord and a singing army of angels and an angel of the Lord who said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news. Do not be afraid." And at Christmas time, we tend to dress that phrase up in the subplot that angels are pretty scary. And we've all seen nativity plays where the angel bursts out from behind a prop and everybody on stage pretends to be terrified until the angel says a comforting, "Do not be afraid." Like, thank goodness the angel didn't say boo. But read those verses again slowly, because I think the angels are addressing much deeper fears. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. Because who hasn't gone through the fear that deep down, God doesn't really like you? Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Because which of us hasn't sometimes prayed but secretly nursed a fear that nobody up there is listening? Do not be afraid, Joseph, of the humiliation and shame that you think is coming your way with a pregnant girlfriend. Because which of us has never been afraid of what other people will think? Hey, shepherds who have been constantly told by society that you don't meet up to God's standards and the appearance of God's glory is going to be nothing but bad news, but do not be afraid, because I come to bring you good news. Can you see that there's something much deeper going on? Do not be afraid. And of course, that deeper thing is much more than a Christmas motif. If you're one of those people who gets your facts from Facebook, you probably know that the Bible contains the phrase, "Do not be afraid," 365 times. One for each day of the year. Which, sadly, like most facts on Facebook, is complete nonsense. The fact that lots of people repost something does not make it true. But the Bible does say, "Do not be afraid," 70 or 80 times, which still makes it the most frequently repeated command of the Bible. And that's worth taking in for a moment. Because I bet if I were to ask you the name of a command from the Bible, most of us would come up with one of the Ten Commandments or love your neighbour or something like that. But do not be afraid. It's the most frequently repeated command in the whole Bible. I wonder whether it's the one that God thinks we need to be reminded of the most often. One of my earliest memories is of the house where my grandparents lived. And that house was a happy place for me. I used to love going there. And from when I was quite small, I would go and stay overnight one night a week. I spent quite a bit of time with my grandparents and I loved being there. My Nana spoilt me like anything, as grandparents do with their little grandchildren. She loved cooking my favourite foods for me and all that sort of thing. And so it was a happy place to go. Except for one thing. There was a cupboard in the corner of the kitchen, and I was terrified of that cupboard. And I have memories from when I was probably about 3 years old, being absolutely petrified if my Nana was going to open that cupboard in the corner of the kitchen. And she knew, and she would warn me if she had to go into the cupboard so that I could run away and hide out of the kitchen. Because if she forgot to warn me, I would scream and I would run away terrified. And I can still remember that really clearly. But it was only years later that I discovered why I had that fear. And this bit I've got no memory of at all. I have no recollection of this. But apparently when I'd just learned to walk, so I was just over a year old, I went into my grandparents' kitchen and I went to that cupboard in the corner. And that was where they kept their dinner plates. And as a little toddler, I reached in for some reason and picked up a pile of dinner plates and turned round, but they were far too heavy for me. And so I crashed down and the plates broke all over the floor and I landed on all the broken plates and I cut my hands up very badly. And I had to be rushed off to hospital and I had to have stitches in both my hands to stop them from bleeding. And I have no memory of any of that. But the fear that came from that kept me out of my grandma's kitchen when she needed to open that cupboard for years. The things that we are afraid of can control our lives. And often they stem back to experiences that have hurt us in some way. But the things that we are afraid of can control our lives. But God's desire for each one of us is to be set free from those controlling fears. In Genesis 15, God spoke to Abram and said, "Do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield." And in Joshua 8, God spoke to Joshua and said, "Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged." In Isaiah 43, God spoke through Isaiah and said, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." In 2 Chronicles 20, God spoke to the king through the prophet Jehaziel and said, "Do not be afraid. The battle is not yours, but God's." In Ezekiel 3, God spoke to Ezekiel and said, "Do not be afraid of them." In Matthew 28, the risen Jesus said to the women who discovered him alive in the garden, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers even, because how afraid would they have been, because they knew they'd run away and let Jesus down. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." And in Acts 27, an angel spoke to Paul in a dream as he was on a ship about to sink in a storm and said, "Do not be afraid." Do you get the picture that God wants us to live free from the control of fear? In Psalm 34, it captures it beautifully. It says, "I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears." God's desire for you and for me is to live free from the control of fear, because fear prevents us from living life to the full. It holds us back from becoming fully the people that God wants us to be. It restrains us from growing in our gifts. In fact, those fears and insecurities can distort our reality and leave us living in a world of our own creation. Let me give you an example to explain what I mean. Years ago, I went to see a friend of mine singing in a concert, and she was part of a choir, but she tended to sing the solos because she had a really, really good voice. And it wasn't my kind of music at all, but even so, I sat there, along with the rest of the audience, astonished by how good she was as she sung the solos in this concert. And at the end, everyone clapped and cheered just like you do, and loads of people congratulated her and said all kinds of nice things about how she'd performed and how good it had been. And then I gave her a lift home after the concert. And as soon as she was in the car, she kind of dissolved. And I was confused. And in a really distraught way, she told me that she'd sung a wrong note. And now everyone thought she was stupid and thought she was an awful singer and she could never sing in public again. And basically, she'd missed one note. I hadn't noticed. And anyone that had noticed would have said, oh, she missed one note. Oh, well. But inside her head, she created this entire alternative reality in which everyone in the room was laughing at her and thought she was stupid and couldn't sing. And why had they wasted their time coming to the concert anyway? Because fear distorts how we see the world. It makes the truth feel like a lie, and it makes lies seem like the truth. Our insecurities turn friends into enemies. Because every time a friend says or does something that we don't like, and the people who love you will do things you don't like. But our insecurities put a voice in our heads that says, well, it just proves that they didn't care about me at all. And suddenly, your friend with whom you disagree on one thing became your enemy who hates you in your head. Because you viewed the situation through the lens of your fears and insecurities. And God wants us to live free from the control of unhealthy fears and insecurities. And this fear of what other people think is one of the most life-controlling and debilitating fears. And I think it's one that all of us have to some extent. Let me tell you how hung up I get about what other people think. I like to run, and I mainly go running quite late at night, often in the early hours of the morning. But when I'm running, I sometimes need to slow down and have a breather. So sometimes when I'm running, I'm actually walking. But I always feel a little bit ashamed about it. Not only have you let down the whole running community of Southampton, but you've let yourself down. You know the kind of thing. And so much so that if I see the lights of a car coming, I start to run again. Because I don't want them to see me walking and think, what a lame runner. And it's pitch dark. And they don't know me from Adam. And even if they did know me, they wouldn't recognize me because it's pitch dark. And anyway, who cares what they think? But I do. And I think most of us do. I wonder how many of us have no problem at all praying on our own at home, but the moment we're praying with other people present, we clam up. I wonder how many of us would love to lift our hands in worship or to dance or to kneel or to lay prostrate before him, because sometimes our voice alone isn't enough to express what we want to say to God. But all we can think about in the moment is the people behind us watching us and what they might think. I wonder how many of us hear God speaking but hold back from sharing what we've heard because what would other people think if we got it wrong? I wonder how many of us would love to volunteer to be part of the team in some area of church ministry or life, but worry about whether somebody else might think we weren't good enough. I wonder how many of us have never spoken to the people we really love about Jesus, because what if they laughed or rejected us? And please, I am not saying this to lay guilt on anyone. That's the last thing I want to do. What I want to lay on you is hope. Because God doesn't just command us not to fear. He enables us not to fear. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears, says the psalmist. The problem is that we live in an age when it's not okay for someone to suggest that anything about me is not okay. And so instead of seeking the Lord and asking him to deliver us from our fears, we justify our fears and we legitimize our insecurities and we say, that's just how I am, part of my wonderful uniqueness. I will never do those things because that's not me. And I can tell you with a certainty that God will not set you free from something that you are clinging onto. But his desire for you is for you to live free from controlling fear. And God may then call you to do the things that you're currently afraid of, or he may not. But I don't believe that his way of saying not is to cause you to be crippled with fear. Because his perfect love drives out all fear. And let's have a reality check, because I don't want to preach something that is pie in the sky and unrealistic. Life is scary. And my goodness, this year has been scary. And things are going to come along and make us afraid. It's going to happen. And God isn't a slot machine that you can say, hey, God, take all my fears away and that's it, job done. But his spirit is at work in you. And the Bible says that he is not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And God's spirit of power and love and self-control will work in you to change your thoughts and your responses and, yes, even your fears, if you invite him to do so. And sometimes when a particular fear has control of our life and has had that for a long time, it can be something that we have to take back to God again and again. And you may not ever have zero fear of that thing that troubles you. But fear does not have to have the controlling stake in your life. You may never have zero insecurities. I don't think I know anyone who does. But your insecurities do not have to take control of how you see the world. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Another preacher put it like this: you can't stop fear from getting into the car, but you don't have to let it drive. Mary stood and looked at Gabriel. And she had every reason to be afraid. An unmarried, pregnant teenager. Engaged to a man who wasn't the child's father. And with the responsibility of carrying the Son of the Most High, whose kingdom will never end, according to the angel. Do not be afraid, he said to her. And I don't think he was talking about the fear of sudden appearances of an angel, because she had far bigger concerns than that. I think he was revealing to her the heart of God, who wanted to meet her in her fears and deliver her from them. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. And I believe that's God's word to you and me today as well. Hear the heart of God, who meets you in your fears and delivers you from them when you seek him. Do not be afraid. You have found favour with God. Let's pray together, shall we? If we were all here in the church building, I would be asking you to stand or to raise a hand if you wanted to receive prayer. And that's not because there's any magic power in putting your hand up, but there is something spiritually significant about consciously saying to God, this is for me. I choose to respond. I invite you to bring your kingdom into this area of my life. So If you know that what I've been talking about today was for you, and if you're serious about asking God to deliver you from those fears, I want to invite you to tell him so now, and quietly in your head, because I'm not going to ask you to stand in your living room in front of your family, but just quietly in a moment of silence, just tell God that this is a prayer for you and you want him to meet you in your fears. And some of us are carrying fears that have controlled our lives for years. And some of us suffer from phobias that we know are irrational, but knowing that doesn't stop them from being real. And some of us are carrying fears for other people, for people we love. Some of us are afraid of very concrete things, health issues, financial issues, our future, the state of the world, or lots of other things. Let's bring all of those things to God in prayer. And Holy Spirit, would you visit each of us as we come to you now? Lord, we are seeking you because your word tells us that you want to deliver us from the control of our fears. So, Lord, would you meet with us? We choose to invite your perfect love in to drive out fear. Holy Spirit, come and meet with us now. And Lord, I want to pray particularly for those of us who are sometimes paralyzed by the fear of what other people might think of us. Lord, I pray that we would hear your voice saying, you have found favor with God, and that our security would be in what you think of us. Come, Holy Spirit. And I pray for each of us that are holding other specific fears before you, or insecurities that we know have control over the way we see the world around us, over the way we see other people, over the way, first and foremost, that we see ourselves. And we want to say, come, Holy Spirit, and deliver us from those fears. We cannot change these things in ourselves, but you can set us free. And we pray that you would come in power. And that where you need to change the way we see ourselves, where you need to change the way we respond to our fears, we invite you to do that. Where you want to change where our faith is placed, so that we can receive more of your love that drives out fear. Would you do that? But Holy Spirit, would you come and do your work in each one of us now? We ask it in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.